sometimes just worship, you get into that mindset and it's hard to refocus, even though this is a continuation of a worship. I think I just want to start this morning in prayer. So Father, we thank you that you are God and that you sent your son Jesus, and that when we look to the cross, we can see how much you love us. Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you speak to us and inspire us today? Through this message, would you instill in us the will to do what you want us to do, to live for you? God, we thank you that you're present, that you're not distant, and that you're near. Help us to sense that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're glad you're with us this morning. If you've been around, you know that we're in our second week of our series, Keep Talking. And, it was a powerful message last week because it was about carrying the message of the gospel. And the idea was that they had to keep talking in order to do that. And I just wonder, maybe you have heard a person talk with authority and they had like this power about them when they talk. Have anybody ever had experience that they're listening to a speaker? Yeah, and you're just like, wow, they had such power and authority. But at the same time, have you ever experienced a person that speaks like that yet has tremendous humility? Well, we're going to get to see this today as we witness Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. And they will speak with both power and humility. That's the title of our series today. So I think, just think about that. Think about that person that you've seen speak with such power and humility. And keep that in mind as we go through this today. So we're going to be picking up in Acts chapter 14. We're going from verse 8 to verse 18 today. So if you have your Bibles open to Acts 14, you can follow along. If not, you can just listen to the words. Starts off, in Lystra, there was sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted to the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are only human. We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Now, if we recall from last week, we know Paul and Barnabas were forced to leave Poseidon Antioch. The religious leaders and even the Gentile leaders had come against them, and they had a plot to come after them. And so Paul and Barnabas heard about this plot, and they decide, hey, it's time to go. And so they head down to Lystra. And that's where we're going to pick up today in chapter 14, verse 8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. So as they began their ministry, here they come upon a man who was lame. And you think, well, you know, this has happened before in the Bible. He's not able to walk, never using his muscles in his legs to lift himself from the ground. He's helpless in many respects. There was no technology or scientific advances that allowed him to live a normal life. His life was limited to begging for help. And he was totally dependent upon others to live. But today, something was going to change in his life. He was ready to receive it too. Look at what happened in the next verses, verses 9 and 10. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. You can see the verse on the screen. If Paul had not been speaking, how could he have been listening? Think about that. If Paul had not been speaking, how could the man be listening? See, often we're quiet and do not speak because we think no one cares or no one's going to hear us. But have we considered our words as believers carry tremendous potential and power? We should not speak on our power and expect something to happen. But we need to remember that because of the promised helper Jesus sent, our words can be powerful as long as we keep in mind where the power has come from. What do you think gave Paul the inkling that this man had faith to be healed? Well, there must have been something in his countenance that provided insight. We have to be reminded that while we think of Paul as an evangelist, you know, he takes the gospel from place to place, Paul ultimately was a teacher, right? How many of you have been in a classroom and had the teacher call on us when we knew the answer? Maybe some of us have been on the other side as well. We've been in a classroom and the teacher calls on us because we don't know the answer. Some hands going up for that one as well, right? Usually when that happens, the teacher's just trying to get that person's attention. But then what does the teacher usually do? They usually call on someone who they know has the answer. There are certain things a teacher knows to look for in a pupil who is tuned in and listening to what is being said. These pupils are engaged and they're willing to engage. Perhaps this is what Paul witnessed in this lame man. As much as we need to keep talking, we still need to be listening though, right? We cannot be a teacher if we'll not listen. Remember, Saul, now known as Paul, was a teacher. He was a Pharisee even before. He knew the law, and he was adamant about living it out, wasn't he? But it took Jesus knocking him to the ground to get him to listen to the truth. To hear what Jesus had to say. In order to see the truth, he had to be blinded and silenced. And he had to be blinded and silenced long enough that he could receive the message. And now, look at him here in Lystra. Look at him. He's speaking with power, but also with humility. Knowing all he has, all he is because Christ is in him. Just think about it. This lame man never walked. His entire life, he had no idea how to do it. Think about how long it takes a baby to get their first steps going. Think about how long it takes a baby to figure out and strengthen the muscles. I remember when our kids were small, you know, they would teeter around the coffee table until they would build up the muscles enough, and even when they were, you know, sort of walking, they'd stumble and fall. But that's not what you see in this passage. He says, "Get up." The man stands up, and he walks. How is this done? How is that even possible? It seems like it takes months for a baby to figure it out. It takes months for the baby to build up enough muscle to do it. And this man wasn't like he was sitting on the side of the road, you know, doing leg exercises. He was lame. Somebody probably carried him to sit there every day. And we don't know that, but we can assume. And he would just sit there because he didn't have strength in his legs. Yet in a moment, in an instant, something happened. It was the power of God. And God is in the business of miracles. You know, there are some who claim that God is not interested in doing miracles anymore. That was reserved back in the early church, and there was little after Acts to prove that miracles happen. But our friend Lee Strobel has helped us out once again and written a new book called A Case for Miracles. In this book, Lee writes of a pastor, a guy named Dwayne Miller, who after having a severe case of the flu had this infection in his throat and he lost his voice. It was reduced to like this, and this is barely it. He said it was like having a hand on his throat all the time. He was a pastor of a big church, a lead pastor. And he went to the doctors, and 63 of them to be exact, to get help. And every one said, there's nothing we can do. This is the way it's going to be. For the rest of your life, this is what you're going to deal with. After 63, he was like, what am I going to do? He lost his job because he couldn't speak. He could barely be heard from the pulpit. And when he was, it felt annoying to him and maybe some of the others. He was barely hanging on. I mean, he was basically in a pit up to his, well over his head. And he didn't know how he was going to get out. For 3 years, he remained in this state of uncertainty. Now, that's much shorter than the lame man we're talking about here. But one Sunday, Dwayne was invited to go speak at his old Sunday school class in a church. And he explained to the people before he went, like, I still have no voice. It's going to be hard for you to hear me. Are you sure you want me to come? And they said, yes, come. Well, lucky for us, they recorded his message. So what I want you to do is it's going to be a little bit of clip here. We're going to get a little bit of a sermon in the sermon here today from Pastor Dwayne. And I'd like you to listen to what happened to him in the Sunday school class.
At the moment. not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like an eagle's.
Wow. Wow. This isn't old news. This is today's news. He's still doing miracles. Man, it's got me choked up. Pastor Dwayne went on to once again pastor a church and now has a daily radio show in Dallas. In fact, his response to this was, God did not just restore my life, He amplified it. And when I think about this story, when I think about this miracle, I think about Job. You know, Job had everything stripped from him. He was destitute and worthless in many people's eyes. Yet God restored and gave back even more. Dwayne's story, again, is a reminder of the faith it takes, even in the pit, to speak. What if he had turned down that opportunity? What if he had said, no, I can't. I don't have a voice. You don't want me. Find someone else. There's plenty of pastors to do this for you. But instead, what Dwayne did is what we're talking about here. He kept talking. Even though it sounded meek, it was still with power and humility. He stood and he allowed God to reveal his power through him. I just want you to step back for a second, because do you realize he had done everything in his power for 3 years to fix this? He'd done everything that he thought he could possibly do as a man to make this right, to restore his voice so that he could go back to working, so he could provide for his family, so that he could be the leader, the man of his family. And in an instant, God transformed everything. He changed everything. And you think, maybe, wow, it's by chance that he was preaching that? No. No, God had a plan a long time ago. Fortunately, he was amongst a crowd of believers, and they knew who to give glory to. You could hear the applause in the background. But in Paul and Barnabas' case, they were not. And the people were trying to give them glory. So in Acts 14, verses 11 through 13, that's what we see. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, when they saw that he had healed this sick man, this lame man who could not walk from birth, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. See, miracles can be misinterpreted. They can be misfocused. And these people had this mindset to worship the gods. But I want you to understand that if you ever did Greek mythology, there is so much corruption and chaos in that mentality. I mean, all these other gods were formed from this other god sleeping with these other gods and other women. It's crazy. And yet this is what these people were worshiping. So look at the people. If people have the wrong perspective, they will point the glory somewhere other than where it belongs. You know, somebody might hear that message from Pastor Dwayne and go, well, it was just coincidence. He took something that morning and it happened. I'm telling you, nothing did anything except God. Now, I haven't read the book, A Case for Miracles, but I do trust Lee Strobel's interpretation of things because he was a skeptic at one point. And God used his skepticism to show him that there is a God. Look, we might say that this doesn't happen today, that people know where to give credit when things like this happen. But there are people who pray, and I don't mean with their hands, I mean pray on those who don't. Some who even call themselves pastors and healers and use this as some kind of scam to receive income and glory themselves. We need to be careful. Jesus said that there would be those in sheep's clothing that were actually wolves. So we need to be on the lookout. Because these people, instead of refuting the praise, they thrive on it and they build a ministry on what is often a facade versus a reality. It doesn't help their faith. It doesn't help the cause. It hurts it. That's not what Paul and Barnabas did, though. Look at how they responded in verses 14 and 15. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They tore their clothes. They were distraught. They were, no, you're missing the point. Don't look at us. We're man. Look. We're just man. They starkly refuse the accolades of the people. Their response is a, whoa, hold the praise for the one who was worthy here. They want them to see this miracle, just like everything around them, all of creation, has nothing to do with them or man, but solely God. They want them to turn from the things they believe will satisfy them and turn to the one who gives good things. We're 1 week away this Sunday from Easter. On this week, right prior to Easter, right prior to when we celebrate Easter, Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey. He rode in on this donkey and people were, woo, Jesus, Hosanna! They're throwing their palms down, they're throwing their blankets and coats down and they're paving the way for him to enter the city. Because they had some kind of mindset of who Jesus was and what he was supposed to be. And less than a week later, they're screaming for a murderer to be freed and for Jesus to be crucified. So we need to be careful who we align ourselves with. We need to be careful and sift things so that we're not on the wrong side. It is so easy to become blinded to the truth. It is easy to let the world's message be the one that we end up listening to. At some point, we have to see it is God who is over all and in all. He is the only one worthy of our praise. We cannot place our hope in anything but him because everything else will leave us longing. Wanting for something the world can never provide. When Jesus is what we are living for, how can we not want to talk about him? I want you to think about this. Chapter after chapter in the New Testament is filled with people who can't contain themselves because they want to share what they know to be true about God. It isn't that God has chosen special people to tell the story either. It's just people that have understood what God has done. And they're humbled. But at the same time, they're empowered. And they have to share the compelling message of the gospel. If you don't believe it, start reading the New Testament. It's in there, line after line after line. People are captivated by it. The church grew because of it. And God uses his provision to show the people what is true. Look at verses 16 through 18. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left them himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from the heavens and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food. He fills your hearts with joy. Yet even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Paul speaks, he tries to open their eyes to let them see God is not blind to what they've been doing. Their wicked ways have not gone unnoticed. He notices. He knows what's happening. But God has allowed nations, people of all nations to choose. They're free to make a choice. Him or their own way. Him or the world's way. And even though many have chosen their own way, God still reveals his provision. Look at verse 17. Can you imagine a world without rain? Nothing would survive. Think of things during a drought. We've experienced some drought conditions around here before. There is a sense of a lack of life. I mean, things are barely hanging on. Trees start dying. Plants wither. The grass turns brown. Crops die. And hope is limited because food starts to become scarce. We don't experience that so much today, but if we lived in a third world country and this happens, it's immediate. It's an immediate consequence to the drought. It puts a little bit of fear into us in a drought condition. Because all of a sudden there's a reality that we need provision from God. Because nobody else can make it rain. Look, you can't call up President Trump and go, "Hey, President Trump, can you give us some rain today?" He can't do it. He can't do it. It's impossible. You can't call the United Nations and go, "Hey, can you send us a cloud this way? Because we need some rain. We're in a drought here." I mean, if we could do that, we would have done that out in California during that drought time, right? We can't do that. There is but one whom we can call on to receive the provision. And that is God. And God alone. Because God always made sure there's been provision for his people. Think back to Joseph. There was going to be a drought. There was going to be a famine. And he put it in Joseph's heart to store up enough food to provide for the people. He didn't leave them. Although he could have. He didn't. Over and over again, record after record, God has been providing from the beginning of time and even today. Not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. I'm going to make a bold statement based on what I know to be true, and it'll be on the screen for you. Without God, hope would ultimately be lost. Without God, hope would ultimately be lost. And maybe some of you are thinking, "Ron, really? You think that's true? Really? Do you believe that? Don't people put hope in other things and therein hope still remains?" Even in verse 18, after all Paul and Barnabas have said, Luke records Paul and Barnabas were having trouble keeping the crowd from worshiping them, from placing hope in man for survival. But the reality is this. Man will ultimately disappoint. Hope in man is not sustainable because man is not the source of hope. And in hope, joy is found. That's why Paul told the people, God not only fills them with plenty of food, but he said he fills them with joy as well. Think about how tempting it would have been to accept the praise of people. Think about it. Yet both Paul and Barnabas kept talking and trying to get the people to give glory to the one who deserved it. He's like, stop, stop! What are you doing? So we need to be reminded that talking about Christ is a command that comes with provision. Talking about Christ is a command. He tells us to tell the story, doesn't he? He says to go to all the nations, teaching them, making disciples of them. That's a command. But he doesn't say, hey, you know, do it in your power. Now, Jesus said that he was going to give us provision to do that. He would give us the Holy Spirit. That after he left, he was sending the Helper, the One. And I believe that the beginning of receiving that provision is found in the humility that we'll never be enough. That we can't do it on our own. But in that power comes knowing who lives in us. In that humility, that's where you actually receive the power. It's kind of like you think, well, I need power before I can do it, but all you need really is humility and the power is going to come. We just need to make a decision to speak. So I want to give us five things to help us speak with power and humility. Number one. And this is number one. Okay? The Spirit. We have to be reminded that the Spirit is in us. That the Spirit gives us the power. But we also have to acknowledge the provision. We have to be humble enough to know that God is going to give us the words. And you know, one of the biggest things I think a lot of believers and even some people that can't have trouble even putting faith in God is this next one. And they think that they're not enough. But you are enough. You don't need anything else other than you and the Spirit. That's all you need. And then, my kid said this is not a word, but I looked it up, it's a word. Inseparableness. And you're like, Ron, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the inseparable love of God for His people. He will never remove that from us. He loves His children too much. And you might think, I'm out there alone. No, no, you're never alone. He's there with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You and God are inseparable. And all you got to do is tell the story. Tell the story, your story, about how Jesus saved you, about where you were when you got saved. And just keep talking. Because then we will have no fear. And we can simply say it with power and humility. God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the Holy Spirit whom lives in us and for His power that when we're bold enough, when we're obedient enough, we can receive that power and see what He can do in and through us. So we pray today that you would help us to keep talking, that you would allow us to experience your power because of the humility we see in the cross. And we can be so grateful for what you did. Lord, we pray that you would give us the words and the opportunities this week to speak the message of the cross, especially as we draw closer to Easter and the love that was displayed on it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.